On from where we left off last week. So we're looking at Colossians chapter 2, if you have your Bibles. Colossians chapter 2. I know many churches, people think, well, the Bible reading's okay, we'll listen to it. We really want to hear what the preacher's saying. This afternoon, I want quite the opposite of that. I want you to listen to what the Word of God says and to receive it to yourselves. Then I'll add a few words after that. But the most important part is to listen, I believe, to what God is saying to you this afternoon through his word. Paul writes this: I want you to know how hard I'm contending for you and for those at Laodicea, for all have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith is in Christ. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you've been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they've seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. They have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules, which have to do with things that are all destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations, indeed, have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. There's a tremendous lot in those few words from Colossians chapter 2, so I'm going to skate quickly over some of them. I think it's comforting to know that Paul struggled when he thought about the Christians in Colossae. He struggled because he was so eager that they be encouraged, that they grow in their faith. I wonder how much or how much time we spend doing that, praying for those here in this church, for example, that we may be strengthened in faith, that we may be encouraged. It is so easy to discourage people by words of criticism, by looks, by grumps, by all sorts of things. You and I as Christians are called to encourage one another so that our faith be strengthened. He goes on, he wants their hearts to be comforted and united in love. And we thought about this quickly last week when we looked around the church as a whole here. Do we love one another? Or do we suffer one another? So easy, isn't it, to love the people whom we love, as it were. But God calls us to love each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. And I think this is a regular challenge for all churches, to love one another. What does all that mean? What was he saying? It was, you see, their spiritual warfare that really concerned him. He wanted them to be strong in the faith. Not to be woolly or dancing around the edges of it. To be strong in the faith. To really know Christ in a real, living and loving way. He wanted them to grow their understanding of the mystery of God. I don't mean just to speak about one's faith, like, do you know Jesus? He's talking about them growing inwardly, in their hearts, in their minds, in their lives, so that God is central in everything that they do, say, and are. He was eager that they understood the meaning of being a Christian and the design of it. He's saying it's good to believe in the heart. He's also eager that each one of us know it well enough to share the faith that we have within us. As Christians, we need to have a good knowledge of God. And if we do have a good knowledge of God, we'll be much stronger in our faith, much stronger when faced with temptation. And again, a challenge for us probably every day of the week. I think we're probably all challenged in one way or another, tempted to do something or say something or think something that we jolly well shouldn't be thinking about. We need to be strong in the faith, much stronger when faced with temptation, because we are living in a spiritual battle. All of us need to be growing in our faith, in our walk with Jesus. The closer we walk with Jesus, the more we'll be filled with his love, his joy and his peace. Again, yet another challenge. Do you feel that you are filled with his love today, now? Do you feel that you're filled with his joy as you sit here this afternoon? Do you feel that you're filled with his peace, that peace that passes all understanding? That is God's desire for us. That's what Paul is going on about here. He wants us to be strong in these things, strong in the faith of Jesus Christ, strong in his love, strong in our faith. In verse 4, Paul says this about Jesus. He says, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Understand this, the treasures are not hidden from us. These treasures are hidden for us. Huge difference. What does that mean? It means that when we are encouraged to spend time with God, that we spend more time reading his word, taking his word into our daily lives, learning more of him, then we begin to understand more the treasures that are ours in Christ. Paul underlines this to give them a firm foundation of faith, so that when they hear fine-sounding arguments made by clever people, they will not easily be led astray. And again, in this country, I think there's such a danger. Many people who came to be Christian, who claim to be Christian, are so quick and easy to follow all sorts of other philosophies and myths and all sorts of other things that are booting around the world, this country at this moment indeed. We last week thought about some of these things, the so-called faith preachers, those who preach that all roads lead to God. I said last week, what rubbish. It's not what Jesus taught, not what Jesus said, it's not what it says in the Bible. And we need to be clear where we stand on it, because it's so easy when you meet someone with a what I call a clever tongue, I'm sure you know what I mean, has good with words. You think, oh, that sounds interesting. Oh, might go along with that. It's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to be strong in our faith. Jesus, in fact, said exactly the opposite, that his way was the narrow way. There's a wide road where anybody can charge down. That leads to destruction. There's a narrow way, though, when we follow Christ and him alone. Then there are those who pray to angels. And again, that comes here in Colossians 2. Pray to angels. Pray to saints of the past. Those who believe they're controlled by the stars. I'm still amazed how many Christians actually read their daily stars in the papers. It's incredible. I may have told you this before, but the secretary the church has in Aylesbury, when I first became a Christian, she would not start her daily task at her desk until she'd read her stars for the day. And I challenged her once. I said, okay, where's God in all of this? Why do you need the stars? I said, this is right. Oh, it doesn't mean anything to me. No, it doesn't mean anything to me. I said, good, don't do it. Oh, no, I've got to. And sadly, that is what happens in so many areas of our life. We're taken in by little subtle things which seem quite harmless, but actually contrary to the word and the work of Jesus. There's still many Christians who go to mediums, who want to consult people who have died. Where's Jesus in that? Where do you find that in the scriptures? In fact, you find exactly the opposite. The Bible tells us from beginning to end that this is an abomination. That's the word it uses in my Bible anyway. An abomination to the Lord that people should do such things. There's still many who play with tarot cards. Not here in this congregation, but when I was in Sutton Hoad, I was amazed how many, quote, Christians relied on the tarot cards for what they were doing and where they were going and what was going to be happening in their lives. What rubbish. But it's so easy to listen to these honeyed words that people give you and to be drawn astray. And that's why, here again, Paul is underlining the importance of growing in our faith, feeding on the word of God, walking with Jesus, listening to him. We are in a battle. I want you to think about this very carefully. As Christians, I'm sure you know, we're always under attack from the world, the flesh, and the devil, however you want to interpret that. Temptations are always before us. Now, if we walk closer with Jesus every day, we will have a jolly good defense against the threats and fears of the enemy. But if we think about God only on a Sunday, the devil has 6 days a week to have a go at us. Have you thought about that? If we start each day with the Lord Jesus, we're on the right track. If we think, well, I shan't bother today, it's a bit late, or it's raining, or something like that. Can you imagine, though, if you're in a... Let's think of it in military terms. If Mary had an army over there and was fighting me, and I had my army here, and she was prepared to fight with her army 7 days a week, and I thought, I'll only get a fight on Sundays. She could have a field day for those 6 days. The same is spiritually true for you and me today. We need to start each day with the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to end each day with the Lord Jesus Christ. However you interpret that in your daily lives, I don't know. But I think this is so important. So many Christians I know come unstuck and go astray, not because they're bad people, but because they're not walking with the Lord. They went to church on Sunday, but they didn't actually speak to God, so Monday to Friday. Then they wonder why they come under such temptation. And they're good temptations, and they draw you. It's what the devil wants. He wants you 6 days a week when you're not in church. So we need to be very strong, I think, in growing in our faith. We do not need to give the enemy any room to lead us astray. We need to be firm in our faith. Small wonder that Paul gave such a strong encouragement to put on the full armor of God. That's why we need the helmet of salvation. That's why we need the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Jesus used the word of God when he was tempted by the devil in the desert. Now, if he needed to use it, how much more do we need to use the word of God? And how can we use it if we don't bother to read it? Think about that. If we don't read it, how are we ever going to know it? I know God can speak to us and guide us, but on everyday things, we need to have that word of God in our hearts. We need those feet that are shod with the gospel of peace. Especially today, we need to think about that too. Are our feet shod with the gospel of peace? Or do we actually enjoy a bit of war? Paul says in verse 4, do not let anyone lead you astray with enticing words. The only way the enemy can get at us, if we allow him to, if we give the time and the space. That's why, again, I just want to underline the importance of starting every day with Jesus. Finishing every day with Jesus. We're in a world where we are tempted 7 days a week. Look at what you watch on the television box. Look what you see on the films, in the adverts, and the boardings that you see with adverts on. Verse 6 to 8, I'll read it to you again. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. Paul warns us about the traditions of men and the ways of the world. What does he mean? He means do not be taken in, for example, by folk who say about things that we know in our hearts are wrong. Well, everybody does it. You do it. Everybody else does it. We need to be able to stand firm and say no. It's one of the shortest words in the English language, I think. It's one that we need to get a grip of, I think, when we're faced with temptation. Just a simple N-O, no. The Jews govern themselves by the tradition of the elders and by much human legislation. Gentiles mixed up human philosophy with a bit of biblical teaching. But both Jews and Gentiles stood against the teaching and example of Jesus. Those who put their faith in other men's arguments and human wisdom have already turned away from Christ. The Jews consider themselves complete and safe in the keeping of the ceremonial law. But you and I, we are complete in Christ. We don't need these other things. We are complete in Christ. I said it last week, the letter of the law kills, the spirit gives life. We are united with Christ through what he did for us when he died for us on the cross. I know today's Remembrance Sunday, but every Sunday for us should be Remembrance Sunday. Remember what Jesus was in the greatest battle of all times when he overcame the devil and all the works of darkness. He did it for us on the cross. And when we are baptized in a spiritual sense, we are made to be dead in a sense. We're taken down into the water, dead. But we come out risen. We come out in the act of baptism in a resurrection state. We are a new creation. We have come into a new life. As Christian men and women, we're reminded to die to sin and to live to righteousness. When we do sin, we open a door in our hearts, and we give the devil permission to come and spoil us. If you think of your heart, is your heart this side? I think it is. If your heart's this side, you go and sin, you open a little door like that, spiritually. And when you want to go in with the Lord, the devil goes, and you go back down again. Why? Because you've given him permission to. By sinning, we give the devil permission to come and to spoil us whenever he feels like it. It's serious. And when we sin, we put our spiritual life at risk. Christ's death was the death for all our sins, not some of them, all of them. Because of Jesus, our sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. And when we sin, we put our spiritual life at risk. When Jesus was nailed to the cross, that's where the sins were dealt with. And that's where we should leave them. So often people do something wrong. They come, they confess, they repent, they're forgiven. What do? They go back into the sin they've just come out of. It's not God's desire for you. We are called to be strong in our faith, strong in our knowledge of God, walking with Jesus. Though once we were dead and lost in sin, now through faith we are alive in Christ. In verse 16 onwards, we have this warning against legalism. People judging you for what you eat or drink. Verse 16 says this, let no man judge you by what you eat or drink, or judge you with regard to religious festivals. Why? Because all this legalism is based on human tradition and teaching. The judgments appear to be wise, but they lack real value. There's no true worship or devotion in any of these things. The gospel teaches us to worship God in spirit and in truth, not to be obsessed by ritual observance. We are to worship God only through Jesus Christ in the power of the Spirit, not through a good preacher or a past saint or a teacher. And I think worship is something too that we really need to think about. I was thinking throughout the whole day, not just this time this afternoon, so often we stand up and we sing a hymn or a song that we know very well. Isn't it nice? We sing along. The question is, are we worshipping Jesus, or are we just in a sort of little comfort zone because we know it? God calls us to worship him in spirit and in truth. Is our singing from the heart? Are we truly singing to God? I speak to myself. It is so easy, particularly with hymns that I know well, just to sing them by rote without any focus on Jesus or God whatsoever. One final thing. I warned you about this last week. Do not allow yourselves to be taken in by honeyed words or suggestions from folk who do not know or who do not worship Jesus. We do not need to be gullible. When people speak to us, we need to check with the Lord whether it's from him or not, because we can easily be swept along by false enthusiasm. One final word on this whole area too. When we don't know what to do, God promises to give us his wisdom. When did you last ask God for some wisdom? Many times I have people come here and in other churches too say, we don't know what to do, we've got this, we've got that, we don't know what to do. I say, have you prayed about it? No. Have you asked God what's right? No. I said, well, don't ask me, why didn't you ask him? Ask God to show what is right and what is wrong. He promises to give us wisdom. We do not have to struggle on our own. So today I just want to encourage you to determine to be wise and simply walk with Jesus every day. Every day. Amen.